Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello and welcome to Phoenix Business Radio. I'm Karen Nowicki, the CEO and president for Phoenix Business Radio X, inside Max 6 and the Conscious Capitalism Workspace. But today you can tell with our background noise that we are at the SciTech Institute STEM and Innovation Summit out here in Scottsdale. And it has been a fantastic day of learning and networking and camaraderie and collaboration and information. I'm going home far smarter than I was when I got here this morning. And we have another little mini interview for you today. I am very blessed to have an opportunity to sit down with Kayla Gray. Kayla is the 2019 Arizona Colleen and Rose, and she is representing Arizona Colleen and Rose of
Arizona.
Of Arizona. Yeah. And the Tralee programs?
International Rose of Tralee is the entire program that kind of sponsors each of the roses from around the world. There are 65 centers right now. And in the beginning of August, we all head over to this little town in County Kerry called Tralee. And while we're there, along with 63 other fabulous women and men who are our lovely escorts, we get to just explore the town, and then it all concludes with two nights on television where one of the 31 other women and myself get selected as the International Rose of Tralee. And this year it was my beautiful rose sister, Sinead Flanagan from Limerick. Dr. Sinead Flanagan.
Okay, yeah, you got to get that in there. And why the SciTech Institute Summit for you?
For me, science and technology, engineering and math, and even arts, if you want to add in the A there for STEAM, has really inspired my entire life. When I was 13 years old, I had an experimental surgery, and it made me fall in love with research and science and all of that. And that's even how I found out I was Irish, to participate in the Rose of Tralee Festival through our favorite 23andMe DNA test.
So before we got on air, we started this kind of side conversation, just briefly getting to know each other. And I said, she's got this gorgeous red hair. And I said, you know, tell me about your family. You know, and you said you were blessed to have your parents, the combination of the two of them, created this beautiful you.
Oh, thank you.
Said, well, what color hair must they have? And you said, well, they're both brunettes, but you had shared that your dad was adopted. So tell us that story, because I think it fits perfect in with this, you know, whole 23andMe and realizing how important your own heritage is as a young woman.
Yeah. So my father is adopted, and because he was born in the state of Ohio between 1970 and 1975, his records were locked. So we were never able to find out who his actual birth parents were. So I grew up kind of having that hole missing, where when you did your genealogy charts, mine just kind of ended because I couldn't really pass for Russian or Native American, which is what my father's adoptive parents are. And I was lucky enough to be able to afford to do one of the 23andMe tests about 4 years ago. And to everyone's shock, with his red hair and green eyes, that I came back over 50% Irish and 20% Northern European, with Ireland and Scotland in the little circle. So technically, I'm like over 70% Irish between that.
So you have that, I think, very traditional Irish look about you, and you had a sense that you were likely Irish. But what was that for you personally to get the results and you know, just have that knowledge of where, you know, the history?
So I equate it to, in real life, I'm a scientist. When I'm not wearing a sash and a crown, I work in research. And it's like that feeling when your lab test comes back and it's exactly what you had been thinking, and it confirmed all of your hypotheses and all your hard work and everything that you put into everything. It just is a confirmation, and you can feel confident that you know. And that's what it felt like when I got those tests. However, when I did call my family and friends, they're like, okay, cool, and I had a sandwich for lunch.
Oh, no. Right, because, again, you are just the perfect representation, at least in my mind.
Thank you.
Love it. So let's talk about your work as a professional. What do you do? And tell us a little bit more about that.
Perfect. So I work for Donor Network of Arizona, which is the organ procurement organization for the state of Arizona. What we do is we provide all the services necessary, from providing organs for donation to working with donor families and working with potential donors to promote the idea of organ donation as a whole. I work in a very special subsection of that, where any organ, tissue, or eye that can't be transplanted, I find a home for in the research and education community to hopefully find a cure for these diseases that don't require transplantation anymore. I like to consider myself the ultimate recycler in that regard.
I'll say. And your love for this kind of work started when? Do you remember when you knew that this was it for you?
I kind of alluded to it earlier. I had brain surgery when I was 15 years old. And my family made a really hard decision to go with a experimental surgery to try and cure my diseases of hydrocephalus and Chiari malformation. And when I woke up, I, for the first time, felt okay in my entire life, because no one ever tells you you're not supposed to have headaches. And when that all happened, I knew that I needed to be in research. I needed to help people feel the way that I felt, to give them that new sense of hope and make sure that they knew that with a little bit of science and I think a little bit of magic, that anything can be possible.
And what a great mix for you to not only be in the field that you're in, but also now have this title so that you can share and encourage other women to not only stand in the presence of who they are and their beingness, but also maybe go for something in their life that they maybe no one else has ever done before, whether it's in a STEM or STEAM field or anything else. Do you have a platform then that you speak on as far as like what is your mission as you have this title?
Pretty much what I've been pushing and what, sure, I pushed a lot when I was in Tralee is the idea that you need to understand your body and you need to understand your limitations, but realize that regardless of what those limitations are, you can achieve anything. And I have been extremely honored and blessed and humbled to, since I was on the television over there, I've gotten an outpouring of messages and support from women and children that are like, hey, I have XYZ, and hearing you speak made me realize I wasn't alone and that I can do all these things that I've been put in a box and being told, oh no, because you're sick, you can't go to college. Because you're sick, you can't be a rose. You can't do all the things that you ever wanted. So it's less of a platform and more of a mission, because all these little girls and all these women and people from around the world, I hope to just inspire one of them to step outside of their comfort zone.
And you did, I love it. You did mention that this is an international organization.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about who you've had a chance to meet and connect with. And it's been the course of just over a year?
Over a year. Yeah. I was selected as the Colleen and Rose on February 9th of last year. So I'm kind of wrapping up my year in just a few months. But while I was in Ireland, there were women from Germany and Australia and New Zealand and people just from in Ireland. I had never visited Ireland in any true capacity. So to be there and just to see how many people just look at these roses as an inspiration, as something that they aspire to be, and as kind of a hero. I had a little girl come up to me while I was over there, and she was the highlight of my trip. I was over there for 2 weeks. She came up and she was kind of choking up, you know, that like nervous laughter you get. And her mom says, you're her favorite rose. I was like, oh, and I get down on her level and I'm having a conversation. And she goes, you're like a mermaid princess. You're my hero. And just hearing that from a stranger, someone who has only heard your story or seen your face, I can only imagine what people like Gandhi, what Marie Curie, all of these famous scientists that I have looked up to my entire life felt like in that little moment.
And the mistake that I think we make when we feel like we're just another person and not the, you know, somebody that everybody knows worldwide or even nationwide, the mistake that we make is that we then sometimes think, well, I'm not enough, or my message, you know, it isn't that important, or I'm not the one who should be sharing my message or my mission. But I think you and I both know based on the experience that you've had and in my own personal life as well, that we are exactly those people.
Yep.
What is that saying, that God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called? Mm-hmm. I really believe in that, because we're, you know, we have these seeds planted, whether it's our intellect or our communication skills or our ability with art or music, whatever our skill set is, we have to listen to that and step further into learning and stepping out of our comfort zone. And because we can be an inspiration for who knows. I mean, gosh, I'm sure she's not the only one that looked up to you and really thought that mm-hmm. they could be somebody because they've seen you go before them.
Oh, thank you. I kind of live by the message that when you're gone, the only thing that you have left are the people that you've made an impact on. And so I try and go each day, and based on what you've said, I feel like that's what you do too, is you just live your life as full as you possibly can. And then you radiate that inspiration, and I hope that other people around can learn from that and that sort of aspect. And I was lucky enough to have an international platform, and you're lucky enough to have this amazing podcast, and hopefully people find their platform, however big or small it may be.
Yeah, go big, go home, and you got to start somewhere. So
yeah.
Even though it may not be something that is nationally or internationally recognized, mm-hmm. Just know that your voice does matter, and we need you to hang on to that mission. Well, thank you so much for spending your time with us. If our listeners want to follow you on social media, can they do that? And where's the best way to stay in touch?
Oh, perfect. Yes, they can. We're on Instagram at Arizona Rose of Tralee and Arizona Colleen, as well as if you go to azcolleen.org, we are actually opening up the applications for our 2020 Colleen, as well as our 2020 Little Miss Shamrock and Irish Lass. So it's a program from anyone in the state of Arizona between the ages of 6 and 28 can have the opportunity to have the platform like I have today.
How fun is that? Well, I'm hoping our listeners are inspired and certainly motivated to learn more about your organization. Thank you again for spending time with us.
Thank you so much for having me.